Good morning, boys and girls. Woo! Bob, you said that Hattie's not going to be here today, right? She's with her daughters today. Good. I'm going to do something I can get away with here. Please turn in your hymnal to hymn number 255. Open that hymnal, 255. As soon as you have it open to 255, look slightly to your right. We're going to sing number 256, the old rugged cross. Stand at your feet if you're able. What a joy to be in God's house today. The old rugged cross. On a hill far away. Well, Madison, somebody told me one time, never follow a children's act, you know, or an animal act. So that's never follow any of those things. So I'm glad you had a tough on you over there today. It was tough on you. What a thrill. What a thrill. So many things happening this last week. Getting an opportunity to go down to Pigeon Forge to see with folks. And, you know, it's kind of toying with things. And it just wasn't going to work. And I said, no, that forecast Monday took off, went down. And when I was down there on Monday evening, I was walked in about 7:30. And I had about 2 hours to be down there. And I was certain people I wanted to see. And God worked this out. The pieces got to see Michael Davis right off here, Jeff Harper and all. Got to see Randy Sheldon, Dixie Echoes. Got to see some of the guys down there I really enjoy seeing for that short period of time. And one fellow I didn't get to see last year because he was in Scotland, Ireland. They were singing. It was Brother Mark Trammell, who's just a dear friend. And so I was standing there in the middle talking. I heard, Charlie, I heard him a thing like that. And it just made me feel so good that he came out of his booth where he was, came down the aisle and found me and said, brother, I just want to shake your hand. I miss coming to your church this year, and I am looking forward to coming back if you will have us. Folks, this is one of the top groups in the nation. To hear those guys talk like that, boy, I knew that 1,200-mile drive was worth it for those couple hours spent down there. And just to be in that environment, just see. So we're looking for great things coming up in the upcoming year. Real quickly, and what we're going to do today is I'm going to speak to you for about 15 minutes or so, and then I'm going to have the choir come on up. The choir, just before communion, they do a wonderful song called He Washed My Eyes With Tears. And that's a song that I love the message, but I love the sound, just the way it just thrills my heart. So just before communion, we're going to do that. I think that Rick and Barbara, you're going to have to sing and serve communion at the same time this morning. So we'll get all that figured out here in a little. You'll be multitasking as every woman is so adept at doing. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, such a wonderful prophet who stood so much for character, for integrity, for standing his ground and pronouncing the truth. In the 12th chapter, Isaiah wrote a hymn. This is a song written. And I'd like to read for you the first three verses, I believe it here, is in Isaiah, the 12th chapter. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. And I love that third verse. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You will draw water from the wells of salvation. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word. And give us for just a few moments, God, let us focus our hearts and minds just upon you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said, amen, amen, amen. On Sunday night, when I was trying to get things prepared and making decisions, I got the news, and most of you that have been around here any length of time know that I'm a golfer, and I heard the news that Arnold Palmer had passed away last Sunday night. Folks, I love sports figures who stood for something. I love sports figures that when I was young, you just looked up to. And I had the pleasure to go see Mr. Palmer play over at Congressional Country Club back in the 70s. I stood closer than about 10 foot to him, and I was watching, so impressed the way he drove the ball, and his hands were just huge. They were massive. And the way he wrapped around that little grip on that golf club was so impressive. He hit the balls always straight. Most golfers either fade it or draw it. And he hit every drive just purely straight. Might not have been exactly down the fairway, but they were hit purely straight. But the thing that was so moving was that every time that he signed any autograph, he made sure that you could read it. He said, "Don't be so quick not to take time and scribble." He said, "These folks have been kind enough and to come see you. Sign it so that you can read it." I believe that in this day and time, so much can be said about character, about simply doing the right thing, especially doing the right thing when times are difficult. Martin Luther King Jr. said that it is always the right time to do the right thing. And we find ourselves so many times challenged to simply do the right thing. Character. And along with that, I think it also takes courage. I know in the Christian walk, there are many challenges, many things that we face. And some of the things we face on the inside, we deal about how I am trying to be the person that God wants me to be. And also that challenge that takes courage to stand up. And as we are told, to proclaim the good news. Courage to speak up for God. I'm going to read you something. This was given to me, and it was part of the papers from Rick's mother. Maturity. Maturity is many things. First, it is the ability to base a judgment on the big picture, the long haul. It means being able to pass up the fun for the minute and select the course of action which will pay off later. One of the great characteristics of infancy is the I want it now approach. Grown-up people can wait. Maturity is the ability to stick with a project or situation until it is finished. The adult who is constantly changing jobs, changing friends, is immature. He or she can't stick it out because they've not grown up. Everything seems to turn sour after a while. Maturity is the capacity to face unpleasantness, frustration, discomfort, and defeat without complaint or collapse. The mature person knows that he cannot have everything his own way. He is able to defer to circumstances, to other people, and to time. Maturity is the ability to live up to your responsibilities, and this means keeping your word. And dependability equates with personal integrity. Do you mean that what you mean what you say, and you say what you mean? The world is filled with people who can't be counted upon, people who never seem to come through in the clutches, people who break promises and substitute alibis for performance. They show up late or not at all. They're confused and disorganized. Their lives are a chaotic maze of unfinished business. Maturity is the ability to make a decision and stand by it. Immature people spend their lives exploring endless possibilities and doing nothing. Action requires courage, and there is no maturity without courage. Maturity is the ability to harness your abilities and your energies and to do more than is expected. The mature person refuses to settle for mediocrity. He or she would rather aim high and miss the mark than aim low and make it. Do you see why I'm so fortunate in my life? I have so many people supporting, giving me tidbits like this just to share with you. And I read that, and this was given to me months ago, and I read it and read it and read it, and I kept it in my case there and would go over and read it again. I just thought today is a day to share. Because in this scripture, I read about, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. How do I get to that point in my life? Well, you got to look back at the first part of the scripture that I read. Oh Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Now, I'm going to say something that we can all relate to. Though you were angry with me. This past week, I got back to work. People were talking. Somebody come in and let's just say they weren't happy with me. And my response was, you know, I'm sorry, but don't think that you're going to be the first person that's ever got angry with me. Actually, you need to take a number. I didn't hear any amens out there. How many times has someone been angry at you? How many times have you just got crossways? And I'm not going to sit here and try to nitpick things and pull it out and justify and say whether you're right or you're wrong. Sometimes somebody's just going to be upset with you. Now here's where we get back to the scripture. The writer here says that God, you were angry with me. And this writer, this great prophet, this one who wrote some of the prettiest scriptures in the Old Testament, wonderful, wonderful things that are written. This writer says that God was angry at me. I'm here to tell you that God was not angry with him. But that's the way we feel sometimes. A lot of times we go through life and we feel that God is mad at us. I had two uncles and I was young, immature, and I had two uncles that had been feuding for many, many years. And Lori, I finally went to Mom and I said, what's going on between Uncle Epp and Uncle Mike? Remember? She says, I don't know. It's been so long, I can't remember. And I'm young, and I should say foolish in church because I wanted to say stupid. I didn't say that in church. So I went and asked, what's the feud about? I can't remember. Now, maybe you don't have a family like that. Maybe your family's just peachy cream and they just got everything in line and everybody's lovey-dovey and all those things. But trust me, folks, we look at God through our own eyes and through our own viewpoint because we think God is like us. We think if we do something wrong that God's going to get angry and he is going to get mad. I'm here to tell you today the good news. There is nothing that you're going to do today that is going to make God love you anymore. But there is nothing that you're going to do today that is going to make God love you any less. The one thing that I can stand upon, the thing it is told to me over and over again in this book that I have open in front of you, is that God loves me and he loves you. I wanted to talk about character and I wanted to talk about courage today because I want to talk about things where I feel that myself and my own life that I have come up short so many times. I think there are times that I've let people down, I've let what God wants me to do down, and it just amazes me, it just astounds me that that same God still loves me. The third point I have is favor. The most important thing is God's favor in your life. And friends, we're seeing it here. We are seeing God's favor. We're seeing an outpouring here. We are seeing people that are drawing closer to God. Because that's who it's about. God doesn't act like we act. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't get angry. Sometimes I think he does scratch his head a little bit. There's a lady. People are sending me things, and there was a young girl who her mother got sick. She must have caught an allergy. And from someone, I don't know who. And this young girl, she decided to go down and do whatever she could. First of all, she made her mother just as comfortable in bed as possible. All I can. Went downstairs and she says, well, I'll make some hot tea because I've seen my mother make hot tea for my father when he gets sick. So here she comes back with the saucer and that cup. And the mother was just simply overwhelmed by this act of kindness and love shown. And she said, I didn't know that you could make tea. And she says, Mom, I did just like I've seen you do. She said, I boiled the water and I put those tea leaves in there. She says, and as the mother was sipping that tea, how wonderful, love. She said, but I couldn't find that little strainer. So I used the fly swatter. But Mom, don't you worry. I used the old one because I didn't want to mess the new one up. Thought I'd get that in before lunch. And that mother said, I love you more today than I've ever loved you before. Doesn't matter. It's the intention that you have in your heart. I make mistakes just like everyone makes mistakes. We stumble, we fall, we come up short in what we feel that we should do for God. But God still shows His favor. He sent His Son to die upon a cross for our sins. I tell you, folks, this is a world that needs to hear that God loves them. When Alice and Charles made that prayer request, and I started to speak up, and I should have right then, because I believe Alice has said we're going to pray for a family member that they get back in church. And I'm like, oh my goodness, how many people want to stand up right now and say that I want to pray for family members, I want to pray for friends who need to get back in church, who need to work on their relationship with God, who felt in their lifetimes that God's mad at them. We're here to tell people that He's not. That He still loves you. Pastor Ed used to say many times. He used to say, you know, He taught us to be fishers of men, not cleaners. I don't know if you've been fishing lately. Oh, nasty's part of the job is to do that cleaning. I like catching, but I don't like that cleaning. And thanks be unto God, it ain't my job to clean them. It's God's job to do that. We get focused on the things that people, when we ought to be focused and excited about the love that we're able to share one with another. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in Your house. And God, we have opened Your Word today. God, we just now ask that you will simply look within our hearts. If there be any ill will, if there be any sin that we need to share with you, God, we ask now that you'll just come in. You'll allow us to repent, to make that U-turn, to turn around, and God, to feel the glory that you want to place within us. And God, we thank you for this time as we take this wafer representing the body that's broken and this small cup of juice representing the blood that was shed, that we have an opportunity to thank you for what you did for us so many years ago. We ask this in Jesus' precious name.